Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Home for the NBA Finals, World Series, and college football's national championship. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. KFNC and KFNC HD2 Mont Bellevue, Houston. Brought to you by Zadok Jewelers.
First pitch to Toro. Soft fly ball, medium depth. Myers now in shallow left center. Crawford coming home. J.P. Crawford is on his way, and he scores standing. Over the last two games, it is now Toro 5 and the Astros nothing.
They want to be down with the kids.
Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston Sports Radio, John and Lance.
Well, you heard it. Toro did it again. Toro beating the Astros. Is the Toro Graveman trade worse right now than the DeAndre Hopkins to Arizona trade?
Not yet, but it's gaining ground.
It's right. I mean,
what is he doing?
Well,
this isn't supposed to be part of it.
Is that the worst trade now in the city's history?
Oh, my God. The biggest grudge holder ever. Get over it, okay? Get over it, Abraham.
Abraham.
All right? We always said we could still be friends. You don't have to hold such a grudge. The Astros aren't throwing at you, so stop.
Oh, my goodness. Sick of it.
Yeah, Gerrit Cole was dominating yesterday, former Astro. You had former Astro Abraham Toro.
What did he strike out? 15 or what did he?
Yeah, he struck out for the first time. He was the first person to strike out Otani three times in a game.
Yeah.
First time, and I think it was 14 or 15. He had a monster performance.
Sick of him.
He's starting to come around. He's.
How about how well the Yankees were playing, and they're still seven back of the Rays.
Isn't that crazy?
They fell off with a bunch of losses, four in a row.
Before you get back to Toro, also the Dodgers, for the first time in like 128 days, are in first place.
Yeah.
In the West.
I mean,
they finally passed
the Giants yesterday. The Giants have lost four in a row. That's more like the Giants.
The Astros aren't playing. I mean, it's not like they're playing bad or terrible, but they're playing very blah right now.
Yeah.
And this is too
blah.
This is supposed to be where they
had two games without scoring against Seattle. They ain't like you're facing cold.
No, even 19 straight innings not scoring.
Yeah.
Against Seattle, who, well, winning record, but come on.
This lineup can't get a run against Seattle?
I got a real problem with how they're playing right now. These are supposed to be the games where they start to extend the lead and then potentially set themselves up in the postseason, and this has really been super disappointing. All the matchups against, just in general, and I know you put like a 15 spot. There was a couple games where you dominated
15 and
Seattle
13,
at home,
whatever.
And now you got 0-0.
Yeah,
you've got a team right now that just against Seattle, the Royals, the Rangers. You just in general, it just looks very blah.
You're still 23 games over 500. But you just got you only got a half game lead over the White Sox. Forget about the Rays. You ain't catching them. You just ain't catching them. You're six behind them. So
a shot, though. If you had, with this schedule, you definitely had a shot.
Well, you look at their schedule. It's ridiculous how easy it is up until the last nine games of the season. It's ridiculous how easy. Now you go to San Diego, and San Diego is, they're not good. They've won four of their last 10. They're 14 games out. They're only eight games over 500 now, but you got the last time Musgrove pitched, he was outstanding. And you know what? That's a former Astro. He'd probably kick your ass. That's probably what's going to happen. So that's not gonna. You finally got a nice outing over against Odorizzi out of Odorizzi, which is nice. And you did nothing for him. That dude's probably like, man, this sucks to be here. He's been crap all year. I finally give you guys a good outing, and he had some nice stuff yesterday. His ball was moving. He looked really, really good yesterday. He might be.
Definitely wasn't the problem.
I'll tell you that Seawald. You should have got Seawald instead of Graveman. That would have been nice. That Seawald looks really, really good. He was tough. He was untouchable yesterday. But you got Urquidy starting apparently in game one.
Wasn't everybody untouchable yesterday?
Yeah, everybody was untouchable. Yeah.
No, that's not true because they left plenty on base.
Seawald got the win. He gets the save in this one. He got the win the other day. And, Sheffield, unhittable. He's just too good. How are you going to beat a 6-8 guy with a 5 ERA? How are you going to do it?
You can't beat
You just can't do it. How about Urquidy slotted to start Friday against Arrieta?
Friday is in tomorrow?
As in tomorrow.
Yeah.
And then Fromber against Musgrove. That'll be nice. And Luis Garcia. It'll be very interesting to see how they go about this with Urquidy, whether or not how many innings they give him, because he hasn't built up his arm strength yet. This could be a 4 or 5 max, probably max 5 inning outing for Urquidy. So that'll be totally sweet if he can come through and look nice. Again, he's looked nice in the minors. So, and with Greinke down with COVID, I don't think you have much of a choice. Bring him up. Let's see what happens.
If there's someone listening right now going into work, maybe you're the one. Maybe it's your wife. Maybe she's riding with you. Maybe you're the wife is the one who's the listener of the Sports Talk Show. And to that, we say hello. I would love to hear from any. You can give us a shout anytime you want, 713-780-3776. I need to know what we need to do, what the Astros need to do to, if you know something about being a grudge holder, we need to straighten this thing out with Abraham Toro. We can't keep going.
Well, I think that's something you have to ask a woman, though.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I would prefer it if there's a woman who, because look, we know as guys, we get in trouble and then, you know, it'll pop up again for years. You get in trouble for something and you do something that the wife doesn't like, and that thing will pop up on you just for years. Oh, really? What about, not this again. That happened 4 years ago. Do you want Toro beating you for years and years? Do you want him grudge holding? You know, oh, really? What about when you guys traded me? Clack. There's another home run to beat the Astros. I don't want Abraham Toro mad at me. I don't want my wife mad at me for multiple years. I don't want Abraham Toro mad at the Astros for multiple years.
It's not that she's mad, but she just never forgets.
Well, okay. Yeah. That's right. And it's the same thing. Yeah. Especially if it pertains to, you know what?
Yeah.
And then she gets in a bad mood because she remembers again and because she never forgets.
Right.
It's the same thing. If you have any advice what we can do for Abraham Toro, because I get a feeling that he's never going to forget. Like, we need him to get over this.
Yeah.
This grudge holder thing against the Astros where he beat you in back-to-back days, this is no good.
He won't. Is this a Jeff Bagwell, Larry Anderson thing? Is this? Only in reverse.
I mean, I laugh, but I remember J.D. Martinez was once an Astro.
If Kendall Graveman keeps on giving up grand slams, Larry Anderson, I think lasted just that year in Boston, or maybe I don't know how much longer he lasted. I don't think he lasted very long.
Yeah, he was
in Boston. They went for it. They traded Jeff Bagwell for Larry Anderson so that they could win the title they needed relief help.
This is eerily
similar.
Larry Anderson had 15 appearances for Boston. That's it.
That's it.
15 appearances for Boston. Where is it? Larry Anderson had 15 appearances, 22 innings pitched. He had a whip of .955. His ERA was 1.23. Like, his ERA was 1.23.
Yeah.
They probably at the time thought, we made it out here. And then Larry Anderson was gone. Now, how old was Larry Anderson when he got traded to the Astros?
I don't know. 32, 33, whatever. 37.
Who makes that trade for a 37-year-old reliever?
Right. Well, Boston, they don't care. They're going for titles, right? Well, at the time, they were absolutely desperate for a title because they hadn't won anything in so long. The Astros, on the other hand, if Kendall Graveman turns into Larry Anderson and Abraham Toro turns into Jeff Bagwell, This is going to be, this is worse than DeAndre Hopkins.
So you know what happened? The Astros, he went, what was Larry Anderson's salary with the Astros signed him to a deal. What was his salary?
$400,000.
It was $965,000. Mm. The Astros is a reliever. That's pretty good for a reliever back then.
Back then, it was a lot.
Then he basically played himself into a contract. That's why he left Boston. He was too expensive. He got a $2 million deal. A $4 million over 2 years with the San Diego Padres, which was considered, I would think, great by reliever standards. You know, that makes sense, signing a 38-year-old reliever to $2 million a year to top-end money in the bullpen. Smart play, Padres.
Well done. Well played. No, the Padres have always been smart moves. Look at all their moves this offseason and how it's paid off 14 games out now with one of the best players, if not the best player in baseball. So you go to San Diego, you get the day off today, you go to San Diego, start a 3-game series, and it'll be nice to see Urquidy back on the mound. That is a godsend. We appreciate him being back out there. And Jake Oder, listen, we got to give him his props. We've been crushing him. Jake Odorizzi did a nice job yesterday. I don't know what the hell is with this team is so streaky, so up and down. It's amazing how you can put up 13 and 15 on the same team, on this team, and then a week later go goose eggs. Nothing. Do nothing against them. It's amazing how this team, I just don't get it. I just don't get it. They had so many opportunities over these last two games to get guys home, and they just can't come up with a big hit. It is just, it's befuddling. And this isn't a great team. This is a good team. The Seattle team is a good team, but it's a team that you should absolutely go in there and whip their ass.
Oh yeah, 100%.
Yes, yes. This is, you got one of the best teams in baseball. I just saw another ranking. Dodgers first, the Giants second, or the Tampa second, Giants third, and the Astros fourth. As far as power rankings,
yeah, that's the that's ESPN's new one, right?
Yeah, that's their new. There's their, that,
they,
their new
isn't
rankings.
Isn't that funny? They have Tampa third.
Was the Giants second and Tampa third?
Yeah,
Dodgers,
Giants, Tampa, and then the Astros, Milwaukee, and then the Yankees. How are you putting the Yankees sixth?
Well, I don't know how you put them ahead.
Last year they were fifth. I mean, last. Week they
well, they
were fifth.
Did have a week. They did lose four straight. So,
oh yeah, they guess fell off. That's when I was out of town.
They fell off. All right,
that's why you put the Yankees fifth.
Pardon me.
That's why you put in the Yankees fifth.
I don't.
What does that mean?
I don't know. I don't know what that means.
There's kids in the car. Use your imagination.
I still don't know why you put the Yankees fifth.
No, what are you doing? No, stop. ESPN's not doing that.
No, the Yankees, I would think the Yankees would be higher.
No, yeah.
I was making the point that that's the team. Oh, that, if you really want to know the truth,
I think
the
scariest teams. ESPN is pleasuring them.
Yeah. The scariest teams would be, it would go Dodgers 1, Yankees 2. If you really want to know my fear factor of who the most dangerous teams are.
I don't know. You ever go, I was in Tampa. Not last year, but the year before for the playoffs. Tampa's very scary.
No. Yeah. I respect Tampa. I would put them either third or fourth. I mean,
I don't want to face the Yankees. I don't. I hope.
You
want
to face Cole?
No, I hope that they get the wild card and they face
that's,
Tampa.
That's
in the
what
first
I'm saying.
Round.
Yeah. I think realistically, right now, I mean, the Astros have a little run,
but they
playing some pretty average
they
baseball.
They are our biz notch in
no,
the postseason.
That's true.
I mean, we take care of business.
And we're
the
Royals, bitch. So.
Whoa.
Hopefully the Royals don't, you know,
I said
make
biz
the playoffs. Notch.
The kids are in the car.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully the Royals don't make the playoffs because, you know, you can't beat the Royals.
Yeah. No.
Royals in the playoffs would be a nightmare.
And the Royals are playing good baseball. Maybe they get there. Maybe they get there. 712 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. When we come back, Carlos Correa. Maybe there's a hope. Maybe we'll hear about that on the other side. But right now we got Jeff Aronoff at Absolute Marble and Granite, and he is up now. He is ready to go. He is getting to wherever whatever he's got going on today. You know he's going full bore, and he is doing something big. He is. I'm telling you. He told me, okay, up in Dallas, they're building a hotel, and I'm doing all of the countertops. Or in Atlanta, I'm doing all the vanities. Or whatever the case may be. But he's located here in the city of Houston, and he wants you to give him a call, and you have a big job. You have an outdoor patio that you want to put in. You want to redo your whole kitchen, or you want to redo your bathrooms, or whatever the case may be. He's got the newest, the best, the brightest, the granite, the marble. It will look like $1 million when it's all said and done. He did that for us. He'll do that for you. He's doing it every day, and he'll get that big job done. 713-880-2822. 713-880-2822 is absolute marble and granite.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Welcome back on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Is that it? Is that all of it?
Yeah.
So, here's a guy.
I was showing John the video of the guy who ran up on this guy. I think his name is Shaquille Brewster.
There's a reporter on the beach.
No. Yeah. There's a reporter on the beach in Gulfport, Mississippi, doing a report about the aftermath of the storm. And this guy pulls up in a white truck, and he gets out and runs toward the shot. And they try to turn the shot. The cameraman's like, oh, this guy's something weird.
He's nuts.
So he tries to get him to turn, shot. And the guy keeps yelling, you're reporting this accurately, aren't you? You're reporting this accurately. And he just keeps screaming, are you reporting this accurately? And then he kind of pushes up on the reporter, and then they cut back away to the guy in the studio. And the guy in the studio is like, hey, like, you're not even there. What do you do? All you're doing is it's just resonating in your director's ear and maybe in the reporter's ear. But, of course, the internet found out who that guy was.
Of course they did. And his point was, is he a QAnon guy or what?
I think he was.
There's some kind of conspiracy, that's why we had a hurricane.
Reporting this accurately.
What, the hurricane?
Yes. He's just doing a shot.
Was it Biden's fault that the hurricane hit there?
I don't know. I don't know what his big angle is. He apparently was a bit of a conspiracy theorist. And, you know, I will say this, though. He kept yelling, are you reporting this accurately? I know that I get frustrated when I see clickbait that doesn't match the story. Yeah. And we saw it a lot with COVID. You know, a lot of scary headlines. And then when you read and you get halfway down an article, it says, despite what we have said in the first half of this, scientists actually believe that there's not as great a chance that this will happen. Mm. Like, what? This is a bait and switch. I mean, and I do think that, I think there is a problem in our industry, and it's, I shouldn't say our industry, in the media in general, with people's, and sometimes it's not people who are in the media, it's like news directors and things like that. The salacious is what is headlined all the time. In sports, that's why we have a hard time getting away from it. When you watch what ESPN has become, for example, it is the most salacious stories you can find. Take the most salacious angles. And then sometimes it's not even, I think there is issues with people. It's become less about the, I understand when you want opinions all the time, but it's become less about facts. We don't get facts. You don't get facts as much anymore. You just get opinions or you get subjectivity. You don't get objectivity. And I think that has become a problem that's, you know, I think it's in as news reporters and all that stuff and politics, we already know that. But in sports, I think it's become an issue in sports too, where you don't have as much, maybe not as much on the local sense, but when everything is trying to find what's the craziest angle we can take or what's the, you know, or maybe let's not be accurate here if it means we still get more hits or more clicks. You see it more probably on digital. So I do think that's something that sports has a problem dealing with. I think ESPN has a big problem with trying to find the most salacious angle all the time. And I think at some point people get tired of it.
Yeah. No. Well, this guy looked like a nut job.
He's yelling, are you reporting it accurately? I don't know what his whole thing is. It's aftermath. Can say that we have seen people drum up false kind of fear or information when it comes to storms. You and I have talked about that for years, about Snowmageddon coming in or this, that, or the other. But I remember the one time that I even apologized on Twitter to Frank Billingsley when he was like, we could get up to 50 inches of rain for Harvey. I'm like, what?
Stop.
And it wasn't even raining on Saturday. Like, it still wasn't. Yeah. We're in the, like, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm like, Frank Billingsley, stop with the 50 inches of rain. And then, after Saturday night, I was like, maybe Frank is right.
Frank was right.
Maybe Frank wasn't bullcorning.
All right. Let's talk a little bit. Maybe Carlos Correa is not bullcorning.
Tell me why you think Carlos
Correa. Brian McTaggart of MLB.com, we know him. We love him. He's awesome. Carlos Correa said this. This was his quote. You never know, man. Obviously, I do not have a contract with the Astros for next year. Who knows? If they want to keep me here, I'll be happy to stay here. If they don't see me here long term, I'll go play somewhere else. That decision is out of my hands. The only thing that's in my hands is the way I perform on the field and the way I help my team win ball games. Right now, 277 and 850 OPS. This is Carlos Correa. His career numbers are, it's almost right there. Now, those career numbers got they literally had the exact same OPS going into this year. I think it was 843, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
They had the exact, he and Lindor. Lindor got $341 million. And it's arguable who's the better shortstop. Carlos is having, now he may get shut out of it again this year because he's Carlos Correa, cheater. And until he gets out of an Astros uniform, he's going to be looked at as a cheater. No one will remember when he's got a Rangers uniform on that he cheated. It's only the Astros that cheated. So that's it. The Astros offered him $120 million in free agency this offseason in salary over 6 years, $20 million a year. He's going to get more than that. I didn't think he was going to be a $30 million player, but it looks like he probably is. Are the Astros going to give him that? Probably not. Would you right now, knowing Carlos Correa, watching him this year, give him 240 over 8 years?
Yeah, it's not my money. I just want Carlos.
No, if it was your money, I don't think you would.
If it was my money, that's now the rate for shortstop. So you have to decide, do I want to pay the rate, the going rate?
Well, Tatis was just $24 million, if you want to know the truth.
Well, but it was over $300 million.
Yeah, but it's only 24 a year.
Yeah, but I don't think that's how Carlos. Well, what was Lindor?
Lindor was 30.
Why would Carlos's agent take Tatis? I mean, Tatis had a super long contract, so it's 24, but it's also all guaranteed. So it's over $300 million guaranteed. To the agent, that's going to mean, you know, that's going to mean good money too. I just. Would I do it? Okay, so you got to decide. Would you pay Carlos $27 million? That's $3 million a year difference. You're going to lose Carlos over $3 million a year? I mean, I'm kind of playing devil's advocate here, but I can really argue both sides of this. I mean, realistically, I would tell you no, but I don't think most players are paid what the value of their play on the field is, but it's the argument is market value. Every agent will argue market value, and the team wants to argue actual analytical value. What is your value versus your output? And Carlos Correa does not equal none of those shortstops. I mean, I could argue Tatis, but not for that long. I mean, no. Does Carlos equal a $30 million a year value based on production? No, probably not. But that's what the going rate is. So it's irrelevant. I think our arguments about, well, it's not irrelevant. If the team decides that they're going to have a value-based system, Daryl Morey argued value-based. And that's why he would let guys, different guys walk. He only had a certain amount he would pay. He wouldn't give the extra year to Dragic. He wouldn't give Marcin Gortat full mid-level. Like, even though he coveted him and was there at 12:01 when they were trying to get Gortat from, I think, Orlando and gave him a new iPad. Remember, that was the big deal. Look at this iPad we got you. And he's like, this iPad is so nice. How much money? And like, well, not even full mid-level. Well, not. I don't give full mid-level. No, our computer doesn't say full mid-level for you, but we got a 4.5. How does that sound? And an iPad, which is pretty sweet right now because it's only like the second year iPad's been out. So what do you say, Marcin? No, I can buy my own iPad with more money. Well, but that's not what the computer says.
Yeah, right.
Well, that's what Washington Bullets say.
Look, what's all we got? You want an iPad or don't you want iPad? Let's go.
I mean, if I want to do value, and my guess is James Click and Jim Crane will be value based. They didn't go over the value number for George Springer. But this is a little different to me. Carlos is younger. Carlos is a better two-way player. George is a team leader too. But Carlos, I just think, would I do it? Okay, so how is that going to impact me in the future? That's the first thing I ask. All right, Bregman's got a deal right now. Altuve's got a deal done. Who are my concerns? Fromber. All right, Fromber has not played high. You know, we might be able to sign Fromber to a lesser deal. Yordan, that's the question. And my argument would be, okay, if we can keep Yordan at DH, maybe we got an argument to be made with Yordan. I would consider signing Carlos. And here's why. That would lock you into your core for another minimum 4 years. Give you another chance. Keep a window open 4 years to compete?
See, I don't know. It depends on what you think of. You know what? You got Pedro. How about spending that on starting pitching to get an ace? How about getting that? How about using?
Do you need it?
Yeah, I think you do. I think you need that. How much scarier is Garrett Cole or Scherzer at the top of a rotation right now?
Didn't want to spend that money on Garrett Cole anyway.
No, you didn't. Well,
but you'll be out of Greinke and Verlander potentially. I mean, you will have. I mean, yeah, you'll have money to spend.
No, but how are you going to use that?
But what about one of them goes to Carlos and one of them goes to a new pitcher?
Well,
one contract goes to one and one contract goes to another. If you say money they're already spending.
Yeah, if you're going to be right at the top. Or if you think Pedro Leon is a guy that you think is the future.
I mean, I don't know the scouting of it all. But if you think he's the future, then yeah. And I think more than likely they would rather go Leon. They'll take the safer route. Look, the smart route is probably not paying them that much money.
Right.
But it's also a danger. I also think that once you have the aggregation of losing leaders and losing kind of the heartbeat of your team, I think you run the risk of losing what got you there in the first place. I think that's what happened to the Seattle Seahawks. You know, as the Seahawks secondary got older, I think their core, the Seahawks identity kind of went away.
Are you any worse off today without George Springer?
No, I don't think you are. I don't feel like it. Do you?
No.
I love George.
I know. I think you're just as good as you were.
I
think you can lose a bat in the lineup and still be, especially when Tucker has stepped up the way he has. 727 ESPN 97.5. I think you're still fine. 713-780-3776 if you want to get in here. The Texans are taking it one day at a time. Okay. All right. We'll talk about that on the other side. But right now, what about cars?
Carsforkids.org. This is your chance to help out. Carsforkids.org is, you know, it's for different people. It's different things. It could be for you an opportunity to do something philanthropic. You have them come off and haul off maybe you're going to sell your car and you say, you know what? I'm not going to sell this car. This car, I could get $4,500 for it. I'm going to donate it to Cars for Kids. And what they'll do is they'll take it and they can put it into an auction and use that money to help fund, you know, they're working with Houston Can Academy to help kids get a second chance at a diploma, which could mean so much more to them than maybe that car and that money would mean to you. Make sure that you do something great, do something nice, because you also get a tax write-off. When you donate your vehicle, that's going to be a tax write-off for you as well. And even if your vehicle's not working and you just want it off your property, they can do that as well. They'll come out there, they'll haul it off, no questions asked. They'll do the title search and transfer. Carsforkids.org. Go to the website, get more information, even check out their car auction, carsforkids.org.
ESPN 97.5. The conversation continues on the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So the Texans have made all their moves. Well, not all their moves. There are probably some more moves in the works as far before the final roster hits next week.
We got our cuts. We got our practice squad.
We got our cuts and practice squad. But there's a chance they add, you know, add and subtract whatever. Guys are never safe this week.
So the practice squad, the list of practice squatters. Well, they don't have it here. Let me pull it up for you. The Texans practice squad. Not a lot, but it is really interesting now that they changed it, and I think for the better. How many veterans are on practice squad now? Remember where it used to be a developmental thing?
Yeah.
And now it's basically they're saying, look, most of the guys, and let's be honest, most of the guys on practice squad didn't develop into anything. These are, now when you look at it, you see practice squad is less of a developmental tool and more of an just an additional way to keep more quality players on your, you know, quality players on your team. Here's what the, let me see, I saw the entire list of practice squad. The Texans had it, as a matter of fact. The practice squad looks like this. Anthony Auclair, who I was surprised he didn't make the team, but you know, they just wanted to go in that direction. Anthony Auclair, tight end. Shaim Carter, cornerback, who was at Alabama previously. I mean, he was a Bama guy 2 years ago. Jeff Driscoll, Hjalti Froholt, who's an interior lineman from well, he was with Arkansas. I don't know who he was with last. Carson Green, Aggies. Tackle, so that was nice to see him make the Ryan McCollum, the Aggie guard, so both those guys make the practice squad. Chris Moore, special teams ace, and a guy who had a pretty good preseason. You and I talked about, he probably had a shot.
I thought he would make the team.
Hardy Nickerson Jr., he's been around the league for 5 years, the son of Hardy Nickerson. Jonathan Owens, that would be Simone Biles' boyfriend, that's how you know him. Paul Quisenberry, who had some nice blocks coming out of Navy in the preseason, he's just a fullback. So Derek Rivers, we'll get to in a second. Former New England Patriot. He's been in the league for 5 years. Lane Taylor, who's been injured. He's a 9-year vet out of Oklahoma State, was with James Camp and the O-line coach with the Green Bay Packers. Lane Taylor, who hasn't been in camp, and they had to release him and waive him, but they definitely wanted to keep him. So they were able to stash him on the practice squad. And then Jordan Vesey, wide receiver, who really came on this year and caught their attention in camp. Derek Rivers, you and I talked a little bit about Derek Rivers, and I want to get to him in a second, but you were talking about, what were you talking about, be patient or?
Well, he's got a, for whatever reason, they sent him to a $1.35 million deal for the practice squad, which is, that's something. So I would imagine at some point he will be brought
basically,
up. And maybe that prohibits anybody from grabbing him off the practice squad.
What they did was, anyone can grab him, it prevents him from going somewhere as a free agent.
Yeah.
He probably said, his agent said, look, I can get on the, I can get a veteran minimum for on the, and get on somebody's 53-man roster. Yeah. And the Texans said, well, look, we'll pay you this, but we want to keep him on the practice squad, but we'll pay him this. And they, I'm sure the agent
and
said,
when we need him at some point, Derek Rivers, you're going to see Derek Rivers at some point.
Think he gets that money though. I mean, you get, remember there's a practice squad amount.
Right.
So how's that going to work? Because there's a practice squad salary, and then there's a regular. So is that salary, the 1.35, does he get paid that rate when he's with the team? Because if so, then the team, that might be like an incentive. Basically, that's an incentive base saying, hey, this is what we'll sign you to. What's the veteran minimum?
LOL, Derek Rivers, and you guys say I make up names. No, that's his real name. Okay, he came out of Youngstown State.
Yeah,
you weren't all that high on him coming out.
No, he was. I mean, he looked the part, but I just thought he was kind of a stiff passer. He had a little more. I don't know. He had a little more. I like Avery Moss, who was on the same team, a little bit more. But I'm looking up what I wrote about him, and he looked the part. But I had a 5'9", which is a kind of a backup, basically a backup grade. I said motor-based edge rusher with some tightness in his hips who used efficient hands, consistent effort to whip the competition in front of him. Remember, Youngstown State. Rivers may lack the length and agility to be a consistent stand-up rusher on the next level, but has the talent to find a spot as a backup who could work his way into a more prominent role with time. That's how I saw him. The Patriots, however, saw him as a third-round pick, and he never really developed with them. He's a big dude. Like, he's 6'4", 250 coming out. With a decent arm length and things like that, but he never really became a factor in New England. But I'm not surprised that Nick Caserio knows him, so Nick's keeping him around. Just another guy in the practice squad. I think there will be some changes. Kiki QT is going to end up with someone in the division.
Well,
on practice squad,
Kiki QT is going to there's a spot for Kiki QT somewhere along the way.
Kiki QT will be.
There's a few Rockets.
There it is. Okay, goes, I can say it now.
Peter Kalambay went to the Broncos, right?
Yeah, he was cut, but then he's in practice squad again.
Yeah.
Okay. Kiki signed with the Colts, so he's on the Colts practice squad.
Ballard.
I told him. I said, "Oh, he reached out to Billy O, and wanted to know." I said, "Let me guess. Billy O liked him a lot." He goes, "Yep." I said, he's got some talent.
It's not my job to do that.
He's fragile.
You helped out.
He's a fragile guy.
And I think Billy O probably really appreciated it. And if he can help another team in the division, Billy O is going to do it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm not sure.
And there's nobody that evaluates talent like Billy O.
No, but I'm not sure if practice squad Kiki is all that dangerous, honestly.
No.
I mean, he's always hurt.
No, he's always hurt. And then there's the Deshaun saga, and it's, you know, day whatever as the world turns with Deshaun.
I'm gonna go find it. So when did the Deshaun saga started the day he said he wanted to be traded, right? Mm-hmm. Not all the other stuff.
None of that was out the day he said he wanted to be traded. So that was the first day of as the world turns with Deshaun Watson. And it's the latest is
January 28th, 2021 is when the Deshaun saga started. Look how long we're already freaking 8 months into this thing.
And once again, Nick Caserio had to address it with the media yesterday, and he gave these insights into how it's going to work with Deshaun Watson.
What I would say about that is really no different than what we talked about at the beginning of training camp. Each day, we're going to make the decision that we feel is best. I would say, again, it's a one-step process. Deshaun's been here every day. He's been in training camp every day. He's been in the building. He's been in meetings. He's been around his teammates. And again, we're going to take it one day at a time. I'm not going to get into a lot of speculation about what has happened, what didn't happen. It's a waste of everybody's time, quite frankly. I think there's more important things to talk about. So, again, we're going to take it one day at a time.
Okay.
We're going to take it one day at a time.
All right.
So you heard it here first, the exclusive. This is how the Texans are going to handle it. You heard it here first on ESPN. We broke the story. The Texans are going to take it one day at a time.
Yep.
Wow.
So don't be thinking this is going to be some kind of crazy bummer.
Okay, here's our second story. Last week we broke the starting quarterback at Texas A&M story.
Yeah.
This week, the Texans are taking it one day at a time with Deshaun Watson.
Right. They're not going to get ahead of themselves with the way that they, because he's with his teammates, he's practicing. Right now, is he a third teamer? Yeah. Did he lose his job to Tyrod Taylor and Davis Mills? Yes. It appears as though he had a terrible camp. I didn't see him do anything. Bad camp for Deshaun. What are you going to do? And Nick Caserio said this is going to be a competitive camp. Yeah. And frankly, Tyrod Taylor and Davis Mills both did more than Deshaun, if you're being honest about this.
How are you going to? Okay. What did Deshaun do this camp? Nothing.
Nothing.
Okay. What? Oh, he looked great. Really?
He's had four. But what about last year, Lance? What about last year, John? It's four wins. His job shouldn't be safe.
No, and now
his job wasn't safe. He lost his job to Tyrod Taylor.
That was last year.
And this is where we are.
How do you know he's still that same guy?
We don't.
We don't know how good he's going to be. So stop already. You got Tyrod Taylor, who completed way more passes this preseason.
Way more.
Davis Mills.
Way more completions.
Looked way better than Deshaun Watson did. Uh-huh. Sure, Deshaun was stretching on the sideline. Oh, great. He's a great stretcher.
Then he disappeared for a few days.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, then he didn't even come out. He didn't even come. Dude is...
What's going on, Coach Cully? Nothing's changed.
What? Do you have a Coach Cully?
Nothing's changed.
Do you have a Coach Cully?
I feel like I do have a Coach Cully. I feel like I do have a Coach Cully.
I know Analytics has those things out there.
Stop bringing that one out. I forgot about Analytics. who's on the line? I can't see who that is. Casa?
Let's switch it up. Let's talk about Cam.
Does that say Casa?
Let's look at Cam's looking for a job. So let's talk to Cam about Cam getting a job. What's up, Cam?
Oh.
Hey, I was calling to see that. I'll say that, Matt Ryan, why not go to the Falcons? Because they picked up two backups, and you got a rookie with Felipe Franks. What if Matt Ryan get hurt? Why not try Cam?
Yeah, that's one of the places that – to me would make some sense because they have Josh Rosen and Felipe Franks.
Does Cam do that, or does Cam wait until somebody loses their quarterback?
So if you're Cam's agent, I was talking to another agent about this, and he said, you know who's really pissed off that Cam's not a backup? His agent, because the paycheck immediately stops. And I asked my buddy, I'm like, yeah, but if you were Cam, though, would you rather be a backup in New England, or would you rather be a free agent waiting? And would you rather be on a team as another team's backup? Cam, I'm kind of the mind that I think Cam Newton and his agent are going to sit there and, well, it doesn't matter what the agent wants to do. It's what Cam wants to do.
Right.
And I think Cam Newton, okay, Cam, do you want to be, would you rather be a backup? If he had his choice, he didn't have a choice. Well, I don't think he had a choice. Would you rather be a backup in New England or would you rather be on the free agent market waiting for a quarterback injury? Honestly, would you rather be a backup in Pittsburgh? Would you rather be a backup in Atlanta?
I think
being a free agent quarterback right now out on the streets actually might be a better spot.
It is a better spot for him. It's a much better spot because some quarterback is going to go down, and you go, oh, well, Cam is sitting there. Cam is healthy. Cam is not sitting. Listen, New England was not an option because you don't want Cam behind a young quarterback. That's the last thing you want. You Matt Ryan, okay. Ben Roethlisberger, okay. Yeah, you can. Cam can. I think the locker room can handle Cam behind those guys. But the locker room couldn't handle Cam behind a Justin Fields, Cam behind even a Justin Herbert. I mean, because if the guy has a second year where the league catches up to him and he's not performing very well, then the locker room might start clamoring for Cam.
And the fan base, I think that's highly underrated.
More than the fan base, the locker room.
Well, that's the one that matters more. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Do you have veterans who say, wait a minute, we got a better chance to win? There's a for some teams, there is a process where it takes time and you got to stay on that road. And sometimes the road will get uncomfortable, but you have to stay on it. And I think that's where, to me, New England is. They said, okay, this is our guy. He's actually better than we expected this early. We can't trust. So Cam had, you know, hurt us last year when he got COVID, which, you know, it happened. But at the same time, a lot of players didn't get COVID last year. They were careful to follow protocols. Cam gets COVID, misses multiple games, comes back, is not the same. And then this year doesn't follow protocol again. League protocol costs himself 5 days. You know, if you are an unvaccinated player and especially a quarterback, that is not a good place to be as a backup, to be an unvaccinated backup who could get the starter sick and you both would be out of action.
No. A little bit later in the show, actually, we're going to hear there's a whole controversy. Bill Belichick had to address the Cam Newton situation with the vaccine. Obviously, Urban Meyer's under investigation. But your boy, Chris Ballard, he don't care.
No.
He's like, watch this. We'll hear from him a little bit later. But when we come back, a little college football. Greg McElroy was on with the boys in the afternoon. So we will hear some of his thoughts about the Aggies and the Longhorns next right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Right now, though, I'm talking about nobody being perfect, especially in the bedroom. If you're having any problems whatsoever, do you have any issues? If you feel like you're coming up short, you don't have to. It's so easy. It's so wonderful. GetRoman.com/John. GetRoman.com/John. With Roman, you get a free online evaluation, ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. It's discreet. A U.S. licensed healthcare professional. This is not some quack. This is a U.S. licensed healthcare professional treating you with the best plan. And if medication is appropriate, it ships to you free with 2-day shipping. Whole process, straightforward, discreet. GetRoman.com/John. Take care of the ED. Don't live with it. You don't have to. Go to GetRoman.com/John right now. Get $15 off your first month. There's a straightforward way to take care of your ED. GetRoman.com/John. Get started now and save $15 on your first month of treatment.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5. The Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We'll get to Greg McElroy in just a second. Greg is, it's not Greg McElroy, it's a different Greg, but he's from Friendswood, and he wants to talk on the radio. Hey, Greg, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you, John? How are you, Lance?
Wonderful. Wonderful. Can't be better.
Great. I would like to call out not Danton Holden on Twitter for being a bad friend.
What happened?
Well, like I quit Twitter about 5 years ago, and I started getting back on it because the y'all Louisiana folk might need some help. And I just reconnected. I had to start a new Twitter account. And I'm not going to give the name because I'm not a social media whore. But I followed Danton. He's like, where have you been? And he replied with the eggplant. But it's really like a cherry tomato. I know from personal experience.
That's it. I don't even know what any of this is. What?
Was that Dr. Evil?
No, he had a very Dr. Evil vibe, but he wasn't Dr. Evil.
What?
Yeah. Very much like a cherry tomato. By the way, how many times have you gotten Brian Christ? I know LeShane sent it to us. We get it. There's one, just some guy who looks like he actually looks like you could find him at maybe a South Carolina.
Like someone I know.
I know. No, that's why it's supposed to be. You look at it, and I feel like I've seen this guy.
No, I know that guy. Like, he's someone.
Jesus' brother, Brian Christ, turns water into cold Coors Light, is what it says.
Yeah.
And it looks like a holy card, but the guy looks like somebody everybody would know.
Yeah.
Like, he's got the hairline. He looks like he would be at a Florida, Georgia tailgate, but not like as a university student. Like somebody
A t-shirt fan.
Like, I think he looks like he'd be on the Georgia side,
right?
Like,
didn't he intern here, that guy, at some point?
No, Brian Christ did not intern here. Although he does look like he could be an intern at a radio station.
Yeah, no, I'm pretty sure he did.
He looks like maybe a 26-year-old intern, 27-year-old. Like, is he still in? He's interning. What else are you doing, Brian?
No, that guy looks like somebody I grew up with or something.
He could work at Guitar Center, this guy, this picture of this. Yeah, but I think that's the whole point. This picture that is on this thing, it looks like the everyman. It looks like somebody that everybody would know.
Yes.
Oh, I know this guy. Where do I recognize him? They took a picture of somebody. Maybe is it a band? Yeah, could it be a band from the 70s? This guy looks like he could. Oh, he couldn't be.
Oh,
in
no, yeah, he absolutely.
Skinner.
Yeah.
Oh, he couldn't have been in the Allman Brothers.
Yeah. No. Yeah. He looks. I swear to God, when I saw that, I said, who is that guy?
But he turns water into cold Coors Light. I was wondering how many times.
Yeah, I got that.
Yeah, I figured how many times. Hey, Chase asked this question. Serious question. Getting back to the Carlos Correa question about would you pay him $30 million a year? He said, what stats would you base off of paying someone $300 million?
Yeah. Well, we have sounds from Tim Kirchin that we're going to play in the next segment. We'll answer that with Tim Kirchin. In the next segment.
Tim can answer that?
Tim Kirchin talked about Carlos Correa, and we're going to do that next.
That's
but
a
right
lot
now,
of
we
got to
get, we teased Greg McElroy. And Greg McElroy had some stuff to say about both Texas A&M and Texas. Let's start with A&M and where they're at. Jimbo just got his extension. And what about this Haynes King kid? What does he think of him?
They're extremely excited about the quarterback they have in Haynes King. And the matchups that he can potentially create, because he's got track speed. I mean, the guy's a 10-600 guy and runs 4.5-4.4. So he's a guy that can flat out turn what would be a 10 or an 11-yard gain last year with Kellen Mond into a 60-yard touchdown if the opportunity presents itself.
Jimbo downplayed his athleticism, but let's make no mistake about it. If Haynes King, especially as a young quarterback, Haynes King is going to pull it down and run, Tom.
Yeah.
Haynes King is going to, especially with Alabama defensive ends closing in on him, Haynes King has a chance to. He really doesn't look like that. He's a little deceptive in how athletic he is to me. When I saw him last year, I was like, this is the next
guy.
No,
they say he is a two-way guy.
And he's a real dude as far as athleticism goes.
I can tell you, everybody, I haven't seen a lot of Haynes King, just a little bit last year, but everybody around college football, Quincy Avery, as soon as he saw that Quincy's a quarterback coach, he's Deshaun's, but he works with different high school kids and college players. And when we tweeted out about Haynes King being the new starter, he's like, this kid is very good with multiple R's. I think that people who are in the space who kept up with him during recruiting, they all think very, very, very highly of Haynes King. So I'm excited. I'm definitely excited to see him. I will tell you that, what's his name, Card from University of Texas, the new starter?
Hudson
Card, yeah.
Yeah.
He's another guy who has a lot of excitement built around him based on guys in the program. I think right now they're excited, and then the previous regime, well, Tom Herman's side, they really thought he was good.
Well, Greg McElroy's excited about him as
is
well.
Is he?
Yeah, he kind of is, Lance.
I'm really excited for Texas because I know Sark knows how to recruit. He knows how to develop quarterbacks. He knows how to put guys in position to make plays with how he really features playmakers within the offensive wide receiver and a running back. So I don't think it'll take very long. So I don't think that roster is that far away. But I do think they will struggle a little bit this year in what might be a bit of a transition year before they kind of find their footing next year and in 2023 and beyond.
He thinks the future is bright, though. And you know what? Going to the SEC, they are going to get, I'm telling you, it just, you can make all the jokes you want about the SEC and all of that stuff. You get a different breed of athlete. You just do. They're going to pick up, they can't, how can they do any better with all the five stars that they get? Watch. Just watch and see the defensive line that they're good, how it's going to change.
I think it's who you recruit, though. I'm not a huge believer that all of a sudden your five stars change. Who you're recruiting?
Yeah. Yeah,
who are you recruiting and how do you develop them? Having highly recruited highly rated recruiting classes has not been a problem for Texas. Converting them into consistent talent that's highly productive and develops into pro players, that hadn't been a thing at Texas for a long time. You know, taking it from the recruiting all the way through to the NFL draft, basically, which is and if players are drafted, that means you are developing, you're getting talented players and or developing them. And you look at the four stars that Nick Saban has had and his percentage of four stars who have become draftable players, and then go take Texas over the last 15 years if you want to, or the time since Nick Saban has been at Alabama, and compare how many of their four stars or above have become highly regarded pro prospects. Some of that is you're not finding the right, you're not targeting the right guys, but some of it is development. There's no way around it.
Yep. And we'll see whether or not, I don't know. I just worry that Sark gives me a Tom Herman feel, a vibe that we'll see if Sark is really the answer. He had his shot at USC, but he drank it away and he's sober now, and it's going to hopefully, hey, they picked up really well by all the recruiting measurements. They're doing a lot better. It's developing those guys. Whether or not that coaching staff is any good, we'll find out. We're going to talk to Dana. We'll have Dana on a little bit later, actually, in about 45 minutes. Pat Forty at the bottom of the hour right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We'll answer Chase's question on the other side about Correa, and we'll hear from Tim Kirchin, his thoughts about Carlos Correa as well. We already told you Carlos Correa thinks he can stay here if the money is right. So that article in SI, I believe it was, maybe was clickbait that Carlos Correa was done with the Astros. Not the case. So we'll talk about that on the other side. But right now we're talking about Chastain Ford. That's my peeps over at Chastain Ford. I love Patrick and Joe and Allie and Justin and Tony and all of the people over there. And they all got in on it. And that, man, I'm going to tell you what, their finance department is second to none, how they work the deal from Ford, because Ford, they're able to get as many rebates and deals as they can out of Ford and work that deal so that you can get into that customized car or truck that you want. And right now it is customized exactly to what you want. You go there or you go to ChastainFord.com and you pick everything that you want. So you don't have to take this package or that package, because you can design your own vehicle right now at Chastain Ford. And that's the best way to go about it. I might not want that sunroof that comes with this package, or I might not want the leather or whatever it is that you don't want. You don't have to take it now, because you can customize that vehicle yourself. Do it at ChastainFord.com or get to the dealership. That's on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead. You're looking for the best deal on that Ford car or truck right now. It's Chastain Ford.
When it comes to sports betting, SportsMapBets.com is the site you need. From weekly betting guides to single game breakdowns of the point spread, money line, over under, and more, SportsMapBets has all the info you need to make the best play. SportsMapBets.com.
Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards. Save